You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. No video this time. We are redoing our virtual studio. We've got some improvements already in the works. And we'll be continuing to go live with that. But in the meantime, we are still doing the show. And, well, except Lou, because I guess he ducked out tonight.
He has more important things to do than hang out with us.
His things are so important that he didn't even tell me what they were. Oh, no, wait. Tonight was that hippie tree hugger meeting thing that he had to go to.
Yeah. I called it a cult earlier.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Oh, well. You don't need to save the planet and the environment and stuff. Look at Coruscant. Look how well Coruscant turned out. I mean, that was the head of the Galactic Empire and the Republic prior to that for how many years? Did they need trees or whales or oceans? No, no.
Nope.
Nope. Not at all. And they did just fine. Did they worry about their electric bill? No. Lights up 24/7. Just saying, it can be done, and we have proof, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. That is the way to go. You know, Alderaan, you've played Old Republic. I don't know if you've gotten to Alderaan yet. Have you?
I've been on Alderaan before, yes.
Okay, do you remember what it looked like?
Yeah.
Okay. Mountains?
It had mountains and forests, trees and whatnot, right?
Beautiful landscape, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
Boom. It got blown up.
It got blowed up. Yep. Coruscant, though, still kicking. So that's what you get for being worried about the environment. Just saying. Anyway, Lou can go off and do his little tree-hugging stuff, and we'll sit here and we'll talk about we'll talk Star Wars. Here at Echo Base on Hoth, where there are no trees. Just saying. How does Hoth have any oxygen?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Mm. Oh, you know, I bet they pump it in from Coruscant.
Yeah, you never know.
That's right, you never know.
I'm sure there's enough fumes and gas of various kinds on Coruscant, too.
Yeah.
Share for the whole galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. They've got this whole thing taken care of. They've got it down. I tell you, the Empire, they know how to run things. They make the trains run on time. Anyway, all right. Well, this week at Echo Base, we're going to try an experiment. We're going to try to make the show a little bit shorter. I don't know how well it's going to work, but we're going to try. We'll see if we can do it. We have some news items. We have a discussion topic. We have everything we need to get going, except Lou. But that's okay, because if anything goes wrong this week, it's Lou's fault. In fact, the fact that we're not doing video this week, we're taking a week off of video, also Lou's fault.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
And hey, you did say that we have everything we need except Lou, so maybe we don't even need Lou.
Well, that's true.
I mean, we're here. Yeah. We're still on the show. Lou's not here, so do we need him?
I don't know. Lou, you better get back here quick, man. Just saying. All right. Well, you know what we do need?
What?
We need Lego Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures on DVD and Blu-ray. Because I've missed, I watched the first episode, I think, and then I missed the rest, and I think they got wiped off of my DVR. I'm way behind on TV watching. I've been saving these because I really, really enjoy the pilot. Have you seen these at all?
I have not.
Okay. They're really good. And it's not just because Vanessa Lenghi's is in it. Though that certainly doesn't hurt it. Well, she does the voice for one of the main characters, Cordy, I think it is. But it's really good. And then the people who have watched the entire first season have also been talking nonstop about how great this show is. I've been looking forward to actually sitting down and getting to watch it. And I think, like, I've got most of it, but I'm missing a couple of episodes. But that's okay, because it's coming soon to DVD and Blu-ray. It's going to be on a two-disc set on December 6th. And the Blu-ray comes with some exclusive magnets. Actually, I think the regular DVD does as well. So, you know, a little bonus pack there. 13 episodes. I don't have a press release copy of this. I'm not getting paid anything to say it. I'm saying that it's good because it's legitimately good. I think that if, you know, the Lego stuff, a lot of it's kind of goofy and silly and little more than a distraction. But for me, this is the first Star Wars Lego content that really feels like it's worth watching. Like, this is legitimately new content. So I would check it out. Actually, I don't think I'm going to wait until December, though. I think I'm going to have to fill in those missing episodes and watch what I've got. I don't want to wait that long. But it's coming. So that's good news. The Force Awakens has debuted on Stars.
And, as of yesterday, right?
Yes.
As we record this?
Yep. September 13th, it's debuted on Stars. So it's available on demand. It's available in the Stars app. It aired on the actual channel last night, and it'll be airing again. So check your local listings, blah, blah, blah. So that's good news. I imagine that most of our listeners probably already have it on DVD.
But yeah, if you're going to watch Star Wars on Stars, I mean, you've most likely seen it somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the movie bombed at the box office.
Yeah, no, I heard it did okay. I heard it actually somehow made it to number one the weekend it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. Well, hey, given how the movies have fared this summer, it was nice that Star Wars did not have that effect.
You know, I really think we're going to talk on Random Chatter a little bit about the performance this summer and last summer at the box office, but I really think that more of the bigger tentpole films are going to start shooting for winter releases.
Yeah, I was just thinking, wonder what would happen if The Force Awakens or Rogue One, or, well, I don't even want to think about Rogue One, but if The Force Awakens was released in May, just like it was originally going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You have to cram all of your stuff into that first week.
Yeah.
And because even if there's nothing coming out for like 2 weeks after, on that third week, there's going to be another tentpole, and, yep, and you're done. I mean, you're not done. Star Wars would still have, you know, kind of a trickle effect. But, I mean, it dominated through half of December, through pretty much all of January. And Rogue One's going to do the same thing. Yep. Even if Rogue One doesn't have the same level of critical acclaim, it's going to perform. You know, Forbes, I think it was, Forbes.com, is doing an article series just like they did with The Force Awakens. And I guess they're doing three different articles. Today's was the worst case scenario for Rogue One at the box office. And I forget the exact numbers, like about 101 or 102 million opening weekend and about 200 overall at the box office. And they were basing that on the worst performing Star Trek film recently. And I mean, even that's not a bad box office take compared to the rest of the box office.
Yeah.
Bad for Star Wars, but still overall successful for a film. But that was a worst case scenario. The next one will do the best case, and then the third article will be the most realistic case in their opinion. So even a worst case scenario for Rogue One, as far as the film industry is concerned, is a success.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's encouraging. But I'm really looking forward to Rogue One.
Yeah, I haven't hit the hype train yet, like where I'm just like all out excited because I'm trying to keep my expectations low.
Yeah.
But I'm getting to the point where, you know, it's September, we're only a few months away and
yeah. Getting close. Yeah. I am doing something different this time around. I've said before I'm not going for any spoilers, but not only am I not going for the spoilers, I'm trying to really stay away from any of the marketing. I'm watching the trailers, but otherwise, like, I'm not viewing a lot of the toy pictures. I'm not reading these articles that are in Entertainment Weekly
and
Empire Magazine. Other than the trailers, I'm trying to stay away from it. And again, like even the character names, I recognize the characters, but I'm trying to keep it so that when I go into the theater, it's fresh.
Yep, me too.
I've never really done that for a modern Star Wars movie. So this is going to be new for me.
Hopefully it'll be worth it and no one will spoil it on social media like Force Awakens.
Well, you just got to stay off social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we need are the people who are keeping up with the spoilers to monitor that sort of thing and warn the rest of us about it. So,
yeah.
Well, regarding the rest of the Star Wars films, there was an interesting development earlier today. Turner, who owns TNT and TBS, have announced that they have entered in to a multi-year domestic licensing agreement. And this agreement is with both Disney and 20th Century Fox. And they are going to have the rights to the entire Star Wars film series for basic cable. Now, when I say the entire series, I mean the seven existing films. Not sure about the Clone Wars film. You know, and that's not something that I've seen talked about in any of the articles online either, but at least all the live-action content. So the seven existing films, the six original ones and The Force Awakens, but also episodes 8 and 9 and Rogue One and the Han Solo spinoff.
Hmm. I'll take that.
Yeah. Apparently this was for about $200 million. The existing films will be coming on September 20th, which I believe is a Tuesday. They're going to air all of the six original films consecutively each night. And I think The Force Awakens will... Let's see. I've got an article up here from DarkHorizons.com. The movies will also air in December in conjunction with the theatrical release of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. TNT will premiere The Force Awakens in early 2018, followed in 2019 with Rogue One.
Okay.
So, you know, that sounds about right. So that's pretty good.
This, well, two things. One, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't TNT air some of the Clone Wars when it was on, or like maybe a couple episodes, like as a special? I could have sworn they did.
Don't know the answer to that.
Because I don't know if this is still the case, but at the time, Turner-owned Cartoon Network, which is where Clone Wars was aired. So
I don't recall. If they did, I guess I didn't pay attention to it because I was watching Clone Wars other ways, I guess.
Yeah, I can't remember. I just remember seeing, I feel like I've seen commercials for, it was, I think something about Bounty Hunters or something. I don't know. Or maybe it was a commercial on TNT for Clone Wars on Cartoon Network, but I could have sworn it was like a one-time thing on TNT, but I don't know.
That could be.
But I like this idea because I was actually introduced through Star or introduced to Star Wars through cable television. I think it was the it was sometime in the mid to late 90s, and Star Wars would air, or it would occasionally air. It was always A New Hope. It would air on Sunday mornings on, I want to say, the Superstation.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would usually wake up, and it would be usually around the time of the when they were on the Death Star. So around that time all the way to the end. So I never got to see the full movie for the longest time, but I always liked it. So I would try, you know, I would watch it when it was on, and then one day I think I saw it on, and then finally got to see the full thing. And then I eventually had the VHS copies and got to see the rest of the trilogy that way.
Well, that's cool.
And then The Phantom Menace came out. So
I remember when videotapes were starting to make their way into homes, into the consumer market.
Mm-hmm.
It was still really hard to get Star Wars on VHS. I think it was a long time before it was released. So a lot of people had to, I mean, there were really, really bad quality copies that had been floating around on VHS. And basically they were someone who got the film reels and then made a video copy of that, and then a copy of a copy, and then a copy of a copy of a copy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 27,000 copies removed. The quality is just so bad. But, yeah, there's a part of me that wonders now how important this really is in the day of things like Netflix, which is also, you know, going to be getting the Star Wars content, in the day of DVDs, in the day of on-demand streaming movies through iTunes and Amazon, Vudu, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's a different world now than it used to be when it comes to media distribution and media consumption.
Yeah. So,
I mean, when they're talking about sound editing choices for The Force Awakens based on whether or not certain sounds of the TIE fighter engine would be discernible on phone speakers, you know you're in a different world of media consumption.
Yeah. I think this will be good for people who may be at least slightly curious about Star Wars, but never have either, one, had the time to sit down and watch it, or two, had really the motivation. And, you know, maybe they're flicking through the channels one day and they see it on and they don't have to pay for it or have some special, you know, Stars package. So they're like, oh, I'm going to put it on Star Wars and just see what it's about, or, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's how I watch a lot of Turner Classic Movies and, to a lesser extent, AMC.
Mm-hmm.
And especially TCM, I will flick through the channels and find myself on that station and just, like, watch a movie, like, starting halfway to the end and not know anything about it. But, you know, if it piques my interest, then, you know, I might sit and watch it.
You know, that's a good point.
So
kind of, you know, we don't think that much about browsing TV anymore. But people still do that. A lot of us still do it. We don't even think about the fact that we do it, but there's a lot of times where we sit down, and if you're sitting down in front of the TV, and you're trying to decide what to watch, some people hit Netflix and some people hit the television or their DVR. And sometimes you browse through and you're like, I don't feel like watching any of this stuff I recorded. And you browse through the channel listing. And I guess there are a lot of people who would end up rewatching Star Wars just based on the fact that it's already playing. And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I could watch that again.
Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, I know that they had it on Spike, I think every like Monday or something.
Yep.
And I would always be excited because I'd just, you know, I was doing homework or, you know, just doing whatever. And I'd have Star Wars on and the TV, and it was nice to have just like in the background.
Yeah. Well, speaking of television and Star Wars, I don't know whether people would consider this a spoiler for Rebels. This is about a character who will be appearing. So if you don't want spoilers, then fast forward for maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. But it has been confirmed that in the upcoming season of Star Wars Rebels, Bo-Katan will be returning. Katie Sackhoff confirmed that she has reprised her duties as the voice actor for Bo-Katan. And I think that's really good news. But then I'm very pro-Mandalorian, so.
So I'm going to be that guy and say, Uh-oh. Who is Bo-Katan?
Oh, Chris. Okay. That's fine.
I mean, I love Mandalorians. Like, uh-huh. They're my favorite, probably my favorite, not species, but like...
Group,
organization,
in affiliation,
all of Star Wars. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm all about the word Mandalorian.
Okay. Well, let's keep something really important in mind. Everybody has different aspects of Star Wars fandom, and you can be an expert in one thing and not be very well versed in something else, even if you enjoy that something else. Okay. And also keep in mind that with Clone Wars no longer on the air, a lot of people who are now coming into Clone Wars or who came into Clone Wars late binge watched a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And when you binge watch, that's a lot different from having one episode to focus on for an entire week and talk to your friends about and rewatch a couple of times. And then you get another one. When you binge watch things, then you get a lot of stuff all at once, but there's a lot of stuff. And it's hard to keep track of all the little details and minutiae. And there are a lot of people out there who feel like you're not a true Star Wars fan if you can't name all of the individual aliens in the cantina in A New Hope. Or et cetera. You know, whatever the equivalent of that is. So don't, you know, Chris, don't feel bad about the fact that you don't remember who Bo-Katan is. Nor should anybody, Star Wars fans out there, ridicule anyone else who doesn't remember. But Bo-Katan, she's female. She's Mandalorian. She was from the Clone Wars series. I forget which season. Now, see, this is where I lose out from binge watching. But she was, I don't remember which season of the Clone Wars she was in. She is the sister of Satine. She was, let's see, what else? She was a member of, was it Death Watch?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
And she served under Pre Vizsla, who was the leader of Death Watch. So I think it's only maybe, like, she's only in, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 episodes, I think, of Clone Wars. But she was in the episode she was in, she was a very prominent character. And well, like, she is voiced by Katie Sackhoff, of course, from Battlestar Galactica, played Starbuck. And I'm glad to see her back because, number one, I like the character. And number two, I like Mandalorians and the fact that they're bringing Mandalorians back more prominently in Rebels is something that I like. And then number three, separate from that, but related, if there's going to be a stronger focus on Mandalorians, it means a stronger focus on Sabine. And I really would like to see a stronger focus on Sabine. So.
I think we all would at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so this is good stuff, I think. I'm pretty happy about this. Let's see. We're about 24 minutes into the show. I'm trying to keep it to about a half hour. Which doesn't leave a lot of time for discussion, but I'm going to throw this out here anyway. There was an article on the Hollywood Reporter's website that various different websites have been linking to that was an interview with, let me see if I can find it here, Ben Sherwood. And
where have I heard that name before?
He runs the ABC, Disney Broadcast and Entertainment Networks.
Okay.
So basically, he's the guy in charge of ABC and what hits ABC, I guess.
Okay.
So he was talking to Hollywood Reporter. One of the things that came up, of course, is the potential for a Star Wars live action series. He says that the decision for a Star Wars live action series rests in the hands of Alan Horn, who's the Disney Studios chairman, and Kathleen Kennedy, who's obviously the president of Lucasfilm. And he said, but I wouldn't get anybody's hopes up too high. They have a lot of movies to make between now and then. We are deep into a very productive relationship with Lucasfilm making Disney XD's Star Wars Rebels. And we are in ongoing conversations with them on what is the next Star Wars animated show.
Huh.
Now, everybody's reporting on this about as news on the live action show still not being a thing. And that's great. But I'm kind of more curious at this point about what will be a thing. And as indicated here, that would be a new Star Wars animated show. And this is not the first time we've heard about this. This has been brought up before, I think, by Filoni at some point. That they're already aware of where Rebels is going to end up and where they're going in whatever's next.
Mm-hmm.
So, in what brief time we have left in this episode, Chris, what would you like to see next as an animated show? We've talked before about what we'd like to see for live action. But looking back at Clone Wars, looking currently at Rebels, what would you look forward to in the future for Star Wars animated television?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think there are certain things that would work better in animation and other things that would work better live action. Like, yeah. I would rather see a live action Rogue Squadron that was maybe a little grittier, a little bit more like Battlestar Galactica. I could settle for that animated, but I think that would be better live action. And I think the whole Star Wars Underworld concept would probably be better live action. Again, for the same sorts of reasons. I think you can get that gritty, darker, more mature feel in live action. With the style of animation they're doing, I don't think that it would come across quite the same. But what would work well?
Well, there are a couple of things that I can think of off the top of my head. And I think it's first, I think we should, when talking about this, separate this into two separate animation styles.
Okay.
I think we should have one being, you know, kind of Clone Wars, Rebels, 3D type thing.
Yeah.
And the other maybe in a different kind of animation style of our choosing. So for the first part, which is we'll say they're going to stick to something like how Rebels or the Clone Wars was, you know, being more 3D models and stuff.
Right.
I think it would – I'd like to see either I think we should stay away from prequel and like prequel era, as in sometime in between 1, 2, and 3 era stuff. I think we should stay away from that, as well as original trilogy stuff, because we have, you know, comics covering, I mean, not prequels, but we have comics covering original trilogy stuff. We have two movies that are pretty much tied to the original trilogy, those being Rogue One and Han Solo. So I think that's covered, at least for the time being. Prequels, we already had Clone Wars, and we really don't want to follow along with that, especially since there's more ties to that with Rebels now. And I kind of want to either say, one, have a pre-episode one type of story, maybe an Obi-Wan Anakin type thing. Not Obi-Wan Anakin, Obi-Wan Qui-Gon type of thing. Or, you know, even further back. I don't want to say Old Republic, because I think that would be a good movie trilogy sometime, you know, 20 years from now.
Okay.
But definitely something pre-episode one. And then either that, or maybe start telling some mini anthology stories after episode 6 and before episode 7. Start maybe filling in that gap a little bit, and not necessarily have we focus on one group of characters and just follow them throughout the whole series, but maybe do like an anthology series where you have arcs that tell a story and then you're done. And, you know, you move on to something else, new characters, new planets, new whatever you want. I think that'd allow for a good bit of diversity, honestly.
Okay.
Rather than just following along a group of characters in a ship as they go from planet to planet and fighting the Empire or whatever.
Okay.
And, you know, they're doing spinoff movies, so why not have like a spinoff type of anthology TV show?
That's true.
So.
Okay.
But the other thing I was going to say, actually, you know what? I'll save the second other animation, a new animation style discussion. I want to hear what you think first.
Okay.
Let's do you for keeping the current kind of similar animation style.
All right. The hard part about anthology stuff is that if it's successful and you connect really strongly with the characters, which is something that's easy to do when Star Wars is well written, then it's hard to give that up. And I have a funny feeling that with Rogue One, I'm going to be a little sad if that's the end of the story for Jyn Erso and the rest of the people in her group.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind maybe seeing continuing adventures of that group. It's something that would be relatively safe to do in a TV series because they're not touched in any of the films. Well, other than Rogue One, but I mean they're not touched in any of the Skywalker saga films.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot more you could do with that sort of group, make them almost more of a special ops kind of group. And I don't know. I mean, you could go almost literally in any direction with them. So that's one thing. And I say that not really knowing much about them yet. So, you know, it's speculative. The other thing, though, that I would really like to see is something you had just touched on. I think that this would be a really good way to bring in the Old Republic. I think that there's so much world building with the Old Republic that it might be better to do it in a television series than in films. And here's my argument as to why. If you look at the prequel movies, there was a lot of story in just those three movies. And one of the complaints was that there were a lot of parts that were kind of cramped and they couldn't really get to a lot of the story. And that was just with the story focusing on a few main characters. Because, again, it's the Skywalker saga, and you're continuing that saga. But with the Old Republic, you're talking about Different affiliations, different groups, multiple different characters. Mm-hmm. Look what the Clone Wars television series did with the actual Clone Wars. How many different planets they were able to visit. How many different groups of people. You had more of an ensemble cast. You had a larger view of the expanse of the universe. I think from a world-building perspective, doing the original or doing the Old Republic might best be done in television format. And then I think budget-wise, doing it animated would probably be a lot easier for them to capture the vastness and the diversity of the entire galaxy mm-hmm. during this time period than something with live action.
That is a good point that I never really thought of. And if you wanted to make a live action or even an animated movie, they probably would do live action. Using the Old Republic, you could design like a project or something, like a long-term type of project that says, okay, mm-hmm. this is probably going to be successful because, I mean, it's Old Republic. People love that timeline or that era. You can, you know, make some kind of long-term goals of, okay, we want to tell a little, this story in seasons one and two, but we also want to set up for a movie at some point that tells this story. Yeah. So
you could do the movie about like a singular figure or groups of figures, like maybe Revan.
Exactly.
But then the television series can focus on all of these other things that are going on, like the blockade of the Hydean Way, hyperspace routes.
Yep.
And like all of the different goings on in the galaxy that were occurring. Whereas Revan, you're looking at a singular figure with a really deep, good story. So you could make a movie trilogy about that alongside of a television series that is exploring more expansively.
Yeah. I like to think it could kind of, and this isn't me bashing the prequels, it could right the wrongs of the storytelling with the prequels, because I think if you could have been George Lucas in the early 90s and said, okay, we're going to have a trilogy of movies that tells the story of Anakin, but in between we can have a television series that also can fill in the gaps, I think that could have been a much easier way to go about the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And I think this is something they could do later on. Even if it's not Old Republic, they can do that.
Yeah. All right. I don't really have a good answer for an alternate animation style. I guess I don't have a particular animation style that I feel attached to. I'm not that picky about animation style, but I'm also not a big fan of a particular animation style. I'm just kind of an equal opportunity animationismer. I don't know what the correct term is. But what would you think might be a good animation format?
I kind of like the idea of an anime style.
Okay.
Star Wars show. I should preface by saying that I'm not a huge anime fan. I used to be like really hardcore back in the day when I was younger, but mm-hmm. you know, I still watch a little bit now. And I think like if you watch like really good high quality anime movies, you know, that's like top notch animation.
Now we're not talking something like Pokemon, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you're talking more like Akira, that sort of. Okay.
Yeah. I think you could do something more dark and gritty with that kind of style. Mm-hmm. And I think it might allow for more freedom, and it might get a different kind of audience than you normally would with like, say, Rebels.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, I think they're missing that's potential for a missing market, because if you, I'm trying to think of a good example, but I can't think of one off the top of my head, but imagine you are an anime fan and you're not really a Star Wars fan, but then one day you hear about this really good, you know, anime style show that is Star Wars, and you like anime, so you're going to, you know, watch the show because apparently it's really good.
Right.
You know, that might intrigue you to watch it. Something I like to think about too is, did you ever watch Avatar: The Last Airbender?
I did not. I know of it. I'm familiar with the basics of it, but I haven't actually watched it.
Okay. That wasn't an anime per se, but it kind of had that kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember when I was younger and that show first came on, had that been, you know, just some normal everyday cartoon, probably wouldn't have watched it. But I watched like the first two seasons of that show before I just lost track of it. And part of it was strictly because it was of that anime style. It wasn't like true Japanese animation because it was an American show, or at least a Western show. But, yeah.
Well, you know, talking about hitting another audience too, traditionally, most anime does really well in the Asian market.
Yes.
I mean, that's where it's originated. And that's a market in which The Force Awakens did not perform all that well.
Mm-hmm. That is a good point.
So that might be a great way to tap into an entire demographic that has not really found a strong connection with Star Wars yet.
Yep. You can go back and watch the some fan made a like a short X-Wing dogfight type of anime style video short.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was really good. And
yeah. So that's what originally got me the idea. And you know, there's a lot of good, you know, space style you know, fighting anime. I can think of Gundam, for example. They always have really good animation. And, you know, it's robots fighting each other, which, it, you know, in space, and it's not Star Wars. So, but still, it's like the sci-fi anime usually does really well.
Right.
So.
Well, and there are other examples of basically space opera anime.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Star Wars is. It's not hard sci-fi. It's generally either considered space fantasy or space opera.
Yep.
So it would fit. Well, you know, I think we're going to wrap up the show there. We're running about 45 minutes. So so far we're doing kind of good about keeping the show a little shorter. So
just wait until some big news item blows up and we have like a 2-hour discussion.
But that's okay. That's okay. Cause then, you know, we can still handle that. Even if we have to split it into more of a news show and a discussion show, you know, we'll take that as it comes. But you know, that is going to wrap up this week of Echo Base. We would love to know your thoughts on this. What do you think about Star Wars television in general when it comes to animation? You know, do you like, you don't have to get into an analysis of the Clone Wars or Rebels, but just kind of zooming out and looking at the bigger picture. Did you like what they did with Clone Wars? Did you like what they're doing now with Rebels? And what would you like to see them do in the future? Let us know. Shoot us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com. We would love to know what you think about that.
And you can find us online. We are at a variety of places. First of all, we have our website, randomchatter.com.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork.
Thank you, Derek.
Yes. Big shout out to Derek. Speaking of shout outs, thanks to Joel for taking over our Echo Base Twitter, as well as Random Chatter and a few of the others.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, we are at Echo Base Podcast. The whole network is at Random Chatter. And as for us, I am at The Curse of Chris. Lou is at Lusecki. That is Lusecki. Eric, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe. And you can also find me at the username I'm using for game streaming, which is Darth Drathus. DARTHDRATHUS. And we need to sit down and come up with a time of the week where we're going to be streaming Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yes, we do.
We still need to get together and play at the same time on that, because that's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. Spread the word about the show. Leave reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And as we start to post more on YouTube, this is kind of our opening month in September. And by the end of the month, we hope to have everything ironed out and moving fully forward with our video shows as well. So if you go to youtube.randomchatter.com, that'll take you straight to our YouTube page. You can subscribe there. You can check out the videos there. We're going to have more video posted pretty soon here. So leave reviews wherever you see us. Let people know what you think.
And don't forget, you can always listen to us live. I don't believe we're live. Are we live tonight?
We're not live tonight. And actually, our schedule is going to be changing. So yes. For this, you're going to need to stay tuned. We've already had some scheduling issues over the past month. It's a little hard with the summer and everything. But now school is starting up. Chris, I know your schedule's changed a little bit. Mine's changed a little bit. Lou continues to be mostly available, except when he's doing tree-hugging hippie stuff. But, just stay tuned to Twitter. We're going to have more information very soon. We've just kind of got to decide on a new night of the week. I think we're going to be doing Wednesdays from now on. We're also going to be... Oh, here's another thing we're doing. On Sunday nights, we're doing gaming at twitchtv.com/DarthDrathus. We're going to have community gaming for anybody in the Random Chatter audience. Any of you guys listening to Echo Base, generally starting about 9 p.m. Eastern. And again, you can just follow the Twitter and pay attention, and you'll find out more information there. But we do kind of like a party games sort of thing. Everybody has a chance to participate, even as audience members. It's a way to hang out and interact and engage. So check that out, too.
Yep.
I think that's about it. A quick shout out to everybody who's been helping us out with Patreon. Without that, I don't know that we'd even have a network at the moment, let alone be able to do video streaming and stuff like that. So we really appreciate it. If you'd like more information on how to help out the network, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. And then finally, with New York Comic Con coming up, we'll have more information about getting together with if anybody's going to be in New York that weekend. On Saturday, we're planning some sort of a Random Chatter Network get together. If you're listening to this show, you're welcome to hang out with us. We'll kind of settle on the details, probably somewhat last minute, but get in contact with us. Let us know if you plan on going. And
that will not be at the show, because unfortunately,
that's the one day we
none of us have Saturday tickets. So you don't have to have a ticket to attend our little get together. It will be outside.
Exactly.
Of the show.
Yes. But if you are going to the con, it'll be somewhere where you can walk out of the con, hang out with us, and walk back in. It's going to be somewhere local to that area. So everybody is welcome to that. Not only people going to the convention.
Yep.
Let's see what else. I'm going to be in Orlando for a little bit, Universal Studios in October. I don't know that anybody will be there, but if you are and want to meet up and get a bite to eat or something, do that.
Unfortunately, there's no Star Wars Land yet.
I know. But that's okay. There will be, and that's the important thing.
One of these days.
Yes, it's coming. All right, well, that's it. We're going to close the blast doors. Don't forget, if you want information on how to join us in Star Wars The Old Republic, shoot us an email, let us know, or find us on Twitter. We can get you a referral code. We'll get you into the guild. We'll get you up and running. We'll get to hang out and game together, too. So let us know. Yep. But otherwise, we're going to close the doors. We will see you next week. Until then, everybody, take care.
The Force will be with you always.